Good morning. Today's reading is from Philippians, verse 4, 6, and 7. Please turn to Philippians, verse 4, 6, and 7 in your Bible, or turn to page 953 in the Bibles provided. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. You may be seated, and the children may go to children's church. Thank you.
Well, it's good to be here and visit my brothers and sisters in the Lord. When I left California, I lived there for 24 years. When I left my mom, I was working in Artesia, New Mexico, and I called her. She says, "Son, all your family are here. You left all your brothers and sisters, you know, the family of Adele." And I said, "Mom, I found 500 brothers and new brothers and sisters that I didn't know. You are my brothers and sisters. Some of you I met and some we haven't. So forgive my accent. And I'm going to tell you later, little by little, then who I am and where I came from. And hopefully one day, one Sunday night maybe, I give a full testimony about where I came from and what happened and why I'm here today. I just briefly tell you, you know, my name is Steve, but my real name is Kamal. I'm Persian. I came from Iran in 1975. And as a Muslim, I lived as a Muslim for 49 years till Christ came after me. So gave me so many brothers and sisters. So I would like to ask you to turn your watches, your time, 10 minutes back, because I don't want to rob you of the blessing that God has given me to bring to you. These are not my words. These are God's words for you to bless you. Today, as you can see, we are talking about Thanksgiving. Even though Thanksgiving is a couple days past, 3 days past, but thankfulness is attitude of a Christian. God has given us so much that we need to be unceasingly, without stopping, saying thank you, God, in everything. He says in everything. So we're going to go through some scriptures. If we have any technical difficulties, it's going to be my problem, not Brian's, because I'm not familiar with your system, but I try to use it best. So be patient with me and give me some grace. And hopefully I can take you through the scriptures so you know why we should be thankful, what God thinks about attitude of gratitude. So, first, I want you know all this history about Thanksgiving, but I'm quickly going to go through it. The first Thanksgiving was celebrated by pilgrims after their first harvest in the New World in October 1621. Thanksgiving has been celebrated nationally on and off since 1789 with a proclamation by President George Washington after a request by Congress. President Abraham Lincoln in 1863 proclaimed a national day of thanksgiving and praise to God our Father who dwells in the heavens to be celebrated on the last Thursday in November. From 1942 onward, Thanksgiving, by an act of Congress, signed into law, received a permanent observation date, the fourth Thursday in November, which you all knew that. Just to refresh your memory. So as far as our personal, my personal history about this Thanksgiving, I first experienced my Thanksgiving celebration in 1975 when I emigrated to America. Throughout the first 20 years of my life in US, I attended many Thanksgiving celebration meals and had no true understanding of the purpose beyond these traditional feast. I call it feast. It is a meal, a feast. Until the year 1996, that I met with Jesus Christ. If we haven't met with Jesus Christ, Thanksgiving truly doesn't mean anything. That's why the outside of the church, outside of those in the outside of family of God, they truly is for them is a holiday, but for us is thankful. Giving, because we know who to give our thanks. You have to know him to give thanks. So, and it was then I had that I understood the true meaning of the Thanksgiving feast. So, I told you a little bit about myself, but let's get to the Word of God, because the thankful heart only comes when we recognize the reason to be thankful. God has given us enough reasons, which now we're going to go through the scriptures and see what the scripture is teaching us. Why we just read, actually what our sister just read in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, was part of my, is going to be part of my sermon. It says, be thankful always and rejoice always. A call to worship. Worship attitude comes when we know that what we are thankful for. Worship comes when to someone is we know the object of the worship. Let's go through the scripture, a call to worship. Psalm 101 through 5. Psalmist writes, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So here we see God reveals himself through the prophets, the word of prophets. When he reveals it, and we receive that joy. The sovereign I am. So first we need to, we set the object. We worship God. So who is this God? Of course, we all studied his word, we all know. I'm just through the scripture simulating your hearts to see who is this God. We don't take this God for granted. He is a sovereign God. Isaiah 46, 9 through 10 says, I am God. God is presenting himself. And there is no other. There is no other God. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. This is a God, sovereign God, who revealing himself through a scripture that who he is. First, we need to understand the character of the object of our worship, the attitude, and everything about this. So our attitude changes when we understand who God is. This is a God that revealed himself through the scriptures. And three things about this God. He is all powerful. That's omnipotent. He is all knowing, omniscient. And he's all present, omnipresent. So this is a God, there is no limit to him. You can't put any limit on God. This is a God that knows everything. This is God that is everywhere. He contains the whole universe. Everything he created, he's outside of the creation, looking into it, but he's among us. Now we know as Christians, through the Holy Spirit, God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Jesus, I and my Father would come and live in you. And when I send the Holy Spirit, he's going to be with you. So we have the Holy Spirit who empowers us to worship. So these are for born-again Christians. If you are born again, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit for his purposes. So he says that my purpose will stand and I will do all I please. We are here to please God. We are here to make his name known. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let's go through the scripture. Why has God created the world? Romans 1, 20 through 21. I'm going to be reading some of the scriptures, so bear with me, because this would give you good perspective on what we are talking about. Romans 1, 20 through 21. Paul is writing about mankind, and he's saying, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature has been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him. Remember the word glorification. Glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Those who reject God and God rejects them because they have no excuse, because in the creation, God put all this evidence to reveal himself. If people say, I never heard the gospel, I never knew about Jesus, God will judge them based on what God revealed to them. God reveals it to the Muslims, Buddhists, the Hindus, everyone. I'm not saying they are the way to God, but God reveals the true creation to every mankind. And God is the source of all the blessings. So they have no excuse when they reject, when they hear the gospel. In Iran right now, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of underground churches. These are home churches. Jesus is saving. They see dreams. They see visions of Christ. And people come in the homes because there is no church open. And if they catch any Muslim like me who was a Muslim and has converted to Christianity, if they don't repent, they behead them, they kill them. And they do it according to their God, to their word. But there are many that they see these days. They see Christ, they see dreams. These are all prophetic. It's in the Bible that the last days, God will pour his spirit on earth, and many see the dreams, many see prophesy, and these are happening, unfortunately, out of this country, but in Middle East and places that they are under persecution, that's where God is working. So, but this is God that reveals himself to everyone. So everyone has the opportunity to come. But our job as born-again Christians is to reach out to these people and tell them the gospel and lead them and pray for them. The purpose of God for creation is to glorify himself. We're going to be talking about glorification or glorifying God, that what it actually means. How do we glorify God? When we get there, I talk deeper about that. So, remember this, God loves to behold his glory in his works. So the eternal happiness of the triune God spills over in the work of creation and redemption. So when God created everything, what did he say? It's good. Everything he created is good. Sin made it all bad. But he already had it before the foundation of earth. He already had a plan to save mankind. He made a covenant with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He said, son, you're going to become like one of them. Someone said it's like really bringing God and bringing it to the level of man. But why did he come? He came to reveal the Father. We go through the scripture through this. But this redemption is one of the things that God is glorified in it. And the creation. God the Father is glorified in the Son. Let's read John 17, 1 through 5. Father, Jesus is speaking, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. We belong to the Father. And now the Father giving us to his Son as a bride. He chose us always in Middle East, especially in Israel, the father always goes and chooses his bride for his son, and then brings them together, and then the son goes, build a place in the father's house for the bride. Bride has a bright white clothes on and waiting till the father tells the son, now is the time, go get your bride. That's what we are waiting for. The rapture or the time that Christ is going to appear in our atmosphere. He's going to call. We're going to be in Thessalonians chapter 4. You study that. I don't want to get there. But you all should believe there is a rapture of the church before the wrath of God is poured on earth. So these are things I don't want to go side on rabbit trail, but these are things we should know. So the Father chose us. Here it says that those that belong to you, you have given him to give them eternal life. What is eternal life? Means eternal, never ending in the presence of God. All these take it in. These are for that thankful heart. He says we have to take it to our heart, not in our mind. We hear it, we comprehend it, we chew on it, we take it in the heart, and the joy comes. The thankful heart, you know, it starts worshiping and loving this gracious God. Jesus speaking, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you have given me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. So Jesus was with the Father from the beginning, from eternity past to eternity future. Jesus is always was there and is, and he is the creator. He is the one. So he's talking about, he has finished, he glorified God by finishing the work that God has given him. That's our redemption. He came, he didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people, give them life. We were all dead, spiritually dead. That's why we need to be born again, Jesus said to Nicodemus. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you are born again, and you are born again from above. That's what is done by God. It's not our choice. We did not go seek Jesus and say, Jesus, save me. No, he came. He came to the bottom of the pit. I got saved in Las Vegas. I was in the bottom of the pit. When as far as the world, I was on top. I had everything I wanted in this world that people work for it. But I was so empty. That's why no matter what I put in this body or gained in money or fame and whatever, I was in the bottom of the pit. He came and met with me there. He's not like other gods that I knew one before. He wasn't God, because he says, you want to reach me? You must work for your, you know, salvation. Then you're going to come and see me. Go blow yourself up, put bomb on yourself, or kill the infidels, and then you can come to me. But this God, while we were still sinners, he came down to the pit and held my hand. I didn't grab on him. He grabbed on me and pulled me. I'm still letting him hold my hand. I don't grab in him. He's grabbing on me and all of us. Because he said, I lost none of them. He kept us. How did Jesus glorify God? By making his name known. When God is glorified, when God is known, he is glorified. Jesus came not to bring a religion for us. He came to show us the Father. Philip asked him, Lord, show us the Father. That would be good enough for us. He says to Philip, Philip, I've been with you for so long. You're still asking me to show you the Father? Anyone has seen me has seen the Father. He came to reveal the Father to us. And he said, God is a spirit. No eyes has ever seen him, except the Son. He came to reveal the Father to us. So the work was done. Finished the work that God has given him. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had before the world began. When Jesus came, the Bible says that he emptied himself. He's God. He cannot. If he appears here, we are all on our faces dead. Even though we are born again Christians, like John in Revelation, when he saw Christ, he fell on like a dead. Daniel saw an angel, he fell, because angels are holy also. But they received their glory from God. God is the Shekinah of glory of God. So we cannot, but Jesus came. He put his glory to the side. He's God, he's divine, but he's Son of Man, Son of God. He came to reveal the Father to us. So man's purpose of life is to enjoy God and to glorify His name, meaning to make His name known. To make His name known. Okay, some of you might say, okay, what does it mean to make His name known? What is His name? I read this sermon many times. Every time I read it, God says, no, you need to put this scripture there. So I didn't put it down on the screen. I just marked it on my Bible. So I'm going to read it to you. Be patient with me. I'm going to read from Exodus 34:5-7. Please listen to the points that I'm going to stop. This is when Moses went to the mountain and God spoke to him, gave him 10 commandments and everything. And now God is introducing, giving Moses his name. What does his name mean? When the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him, with Moses, proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, is slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. So His name is the Lord. He is Lord. He's compassionate. He's gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness and rebellion, which I include myself, and I'm going to say I'm sorry, all of us were there. We were all rebellious before our salvation. We were all in sin. Jesus came to set us free. He says, I came so you have abundant life, to set you free. And the Jews said, we've never been a slave to anyone. He says, anyone who sins is a slave to sin. That chain of sin, He took from us, gave us freedom. God has been gathering a remnant of believers who are the recipient of His mercy and grace to glorify His name. Now we know who our God is, what kind of God we have. He's not a vicious God. He is a loving God. When we know His name, He is the Lord. Then we can worship Him. The steps to a thankful heart toward God are the knowledge of God's goodness and love. These are things we need to be focusing on. God's goodness and God's love. God's love is agape love, is infinite love, is not conditional love. We do not do anything to please Him. All we need to know His name and to give our hearts to Him. All He wants is our hearts. Manifestation of God's love in the death of Christ. Romans 5:8-9, Paul writes, but God demonstrated His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God coming down on earth and dying for His creature. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? If God gave us His Son to go through the agony of Christ, the cross, go through that shameful punishment for us, isn't he going to save us from the wrath to come? What is this wrath to come? Read book of Revelation. That's where the wrath of God comes. After he takes the bride, he takes the church home, his wrath going to come on earth. This should shake us. For those unbelieving family members, for people, our neighbors, or people on site that are dying without Christ, this should motivate us that we go tell them. All we need to do, we cannot twist people's hand to receive Christ. We just tell them Jesus loves them and give them the word of God and pray for them. Pray for your families and live a Christian life so they can see it and they learn through you. God is source of all blessing. Now we're going to come to that counting our blessings. Be patient with me. James writes 1:16-18. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth. What is the word of truth? The gospel. That we might be kind of first fruits of all he created. We all the first fruit. Jesus Christ came to bring fruit for the Father. We are his first fruits. Thanksgiving flows out of a blessed heart. If our heart is blessed, if your heart is being right now kind of stirred, the thanksgiving flows out of that kind of heart that knows who the object of thanksgiving to. So let us count our blessings. Some of this may be very in lower shelves for everyone. It's just a renewing our mind. We can group our blessing as earthly blessings, which can be tangible and spiritual, and eternal blessings, also tangible and spiritual. So let's talk about earthly blessings. The tangible blessings, those are the ones that, you know, we use all the five senses. You know, God has given us lots of goodies. On Thanksgiving, I'm sure you all try some of that. You know, by taste, by hearing, with good music, we were blessed by hearing this music, right? Worshiping God. So hearing, seeing, we see a beautiful creation, you know, things outside, colors and all. These are common grace. Common grace is for all mankind. It's not just for the believers. It's all for mankind. It says the reign of God comes on just and unjust and on faithful and unfaithful. You know, everyone receives that common grace that comes down from heaven. The spiritual blessings are progressive work. So these are during our sanctification. Justification is when God makes us just. Only is a monoistic. It means there's only one person is involved, that's God. Or justification. But sanctification is synergistic, means Holy Spirit. God is working with us. We need to cooperate with God to get from glory to glory. That's sanctification, which is the journey in our walk with Christ till God calls us home. We are on that path of sanctification. Some people are quickly sanctified because they're more submissive to the Holy Spirit. He's not talking about the good works. He's just submissive to the, we are tuned to the voice of God, and we obey the word of God. So that's our sanctification is synergistic. We work with God. So here, there is progressive. Means the more we are submissive to God, the more we receive these kind of spiritual blessings. And if, let me see if I can get to that. Okay, the spiritual blessings refer to Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruit, not fruits, fruit. Fruit of the Spirit. These are all progressive. And I took few of them recently. Patience was one of the things. I got 19 grandkids, so I knew I wasn't patient with many of them. So I asked God a few years ago to make me a patient, and he put me in the fire. He says, okay, you want patience? I'll put you in the fire. And recently, I'm working on my self-control. And please, I encourage you, take one or two and work on that and ask God for those things and then be tuned to his voice. He puts you through some furnace and gets you there. It's purifying. Furnace is God's purifying. So is what is progressive. Faithfulness, goodness, all these characteristic, you know, virtues, these are things that God develops in us. That's why people say, there's something different about you. You know, when I got saved 26 years ago, I was the black sheep in the family. Five brothers, I was the black sheep. I tried everything. I was so much like my dad. We couldn't get along. We just so much like each other. And my dad said, well, he says, something has happened to him. It was like weeks after I got saved. And I led my dad 3 months later to the Lord. That's another story I'll tell you when I give you full testimony. He got healed in the hospital, and he was totally 78-year-old man. He changed. My mom said, what happened to this gripey old man? You know, he's like an angel. He changed. God, Jesus came to change, convert us. He just transformed us. We cannot remain where we were. We need to be sanctified constantly, be moving ahead. Eternal blessings. We will enjoy all the tangible blessings in our glorified bodies, except there will be no marriage. Did someone say amen? No, I'm kidding. They're going to be everything. Everything in eternal blessing, all the tangible things. You know, Jesus said that he will serve us at his table. 7 years, we're going to be at the banquet of the wedding of the Lamb. That's when the wrath of God is poured on earth. 7 years, we're going to be with him. Then we're going to come back with him. That's his second advent. That's when he comes back. We come back with him. So, Jesus says, in heaven, there will be no marriage. That's what Jesus said. They're going to be like angels. If you recall the Sadducees who didn't believe in eternal life, they asked him about this man who married this woman. This woman, the man died, and he had 7 brothers, and each one married. So they brought these. They made it up, or I don't know, but they asked Jesus. So when they go to heaven and you say they're going to resurrect, which one of these brothers, this woman going to be married to? Jesus says, there's no marriage in heaven. They are like angels. Angels don't get married. We don't need reproduction. You know, this is it. That was on the earth. So that's where it came from. Our eternal spiritual blessings are limitless, since we will be living in the presence of God, which is perfect and sinless environment, living in our sinless glorified bodies. So in heaven, that's why Bible says there's no tears, there is no sorrows. So in heaven, we have no, is a perfect place. There is no sin. Amen. Where there is no sin, there is joy, there is peace, there is no disunity. We as the children of God shall live our lives with an attitude of gratitude and awe, in full awareness of the presence of the triune God. Constantly we need to live in a life that we feel God with us. There are many, many scriptures that when someone, even David, prays and says, God, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. When he sinned, he felt miserable for a year till he confessed his sin, Psalm 51. So we need to feel the Spirit of God constantly. We shall always acknowledge God as the only source of our earthly and eternal blessings. That's how we give thanksgiving. We acknowledge him. We acknowledge that all goodness, everything comes from him. I'm trying to rush through this, but I hope you take these things in your heart. Unceasing thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 through 18. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That's the will of God. Those some people live, they say, I want to know what will of God is for me. What is will of God for me? What did it say? To be thankful. Be thankful. That's the will of God for us. No matter what we face in life, God's goodness and mercy will never leave us. In fact, he even prepares blessings for us in the middle of hard seasons. But these truths aren't always easy to remember, which is why giving thanks matters. We don't remember all these things. I had a scripture for you to read. I'm going to just paraphrase it. That's Psalm 23, verse 5. Of course, Psalm 23, everyone is familiar with it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't need anything. Verse 5, it says that even he opens a table for me in front of my enemies. He's surrounded with all the enemies, but we are in the rest. He's a God that provides for us no matter what happens. Calamities, everything. Jesus is always with us. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? When Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian kings, throw them in the furnace? Okay? Because they did not want to worship his idol. And who was among them? Nebuchadnezzar said, we threw three people in there. Why there are four? And one of them is like son of gods. They had many gods. They were idol worshippers. Later on, he recognized who God of heaven is. But God protected them through the furnace, fiery furnace. So God is there, always with us. Gratitude helps us focus on the only one who is able to turn our problems around for his glory and our good. For his glory and our good. Show me a peaceful man, and I show you a man who is fully content and thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to read another scripture for you from Romans, Romans 8, 28. Just take it in. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. All things work for good. In your troubles, remember, God is working. He's bringing everything to the point that to bring good out of it, even in the calamity. I want to make sure that my time is not passed through. I still have a few minutes, right? Okay, be patient with me. I'm going to finish this. God's peace for the thankful heart. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition. Petition is we pray for other people. Supplication. With thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends or surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Everything is in Christ Jesus. Outside of Christ Jesus, you can do nothing. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you are branches. Outside of me, he says, remain in me. Outside of me, you can do nothing. We need to be connected always. The Holy Spirit connects us to Christ. We have to be always mindful of Jesus Christ. When we thank God, we acknowledge his goodness. When we thank God, we acknowledge his goodness. First, we have to know how good he is. He presented himself. We look at our redemption. We look at who he is and how he knows all things about us. It's scary sometimes for those that they are trying to hide things. Psalmist David says, oh Lord, search me and see if there is any iniquity in me, because he wanted to repent it. He tried to, you know, follow the law, follow everything. Old Testament, they had to keep the law. They had to follow the Torah. For us, we just look at Jesus. We already have that white robe that he put on us. Because he was on the cross, God took our sin and put on him and slain the lamb. So he died for our sins. That didn't stop over there. If God wouldn't do this act that I'm going to talk about it, we were sinners that have been forgiven. But now we are children. How God took Jesus' righteousness, imputed in us. He gave it to us in our account. That's grace. We didn't deserve that. Okay, mercy, yes, forgiving sin. But grace? Give him something and making it, adopting to my God family. He adopted all of us in his family. So we are blessed, triple blessed. So this righteousness is given to us by God. We need to know his goodness. So we have acknowledged his goodness. God's love endures forever. Psalm 107, 1 through 3 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Amen? His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the land of the foes, from the hand of the foes. Those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. He brought me from Persia, which is in the other side of the earth, brought me over here to get me saved. And my whole family, 36 members of my family, got saved. I got three pastor brothers. So he brought us here. My mom was the first one to be baptized with us. So, and there, I counted many years ago, was 36 members of my family got saved and their families. Why? Why God did that for us? Did I do anything or deserve anything? No, that was his plan. He brought us here. He is good because he brings us from all four corners of the earth to here. Now, this country, I was begging God to send me to Iran. And what happened was when I got saved, I was just asking, Lord, send me to Iran. I want to go to preach to them. He brought Persians here. And now my three brothers are ministering to Persian. They have Persian churches. So, but God said, no, you're going to be with English language. I said, Lord, I can't speak English. You know, I stuttered. I says, who created this? This morning, actually, I asked God, I begged him. I said, for the new crowd, you know, you get nervous. Because people at the other church that I served for 2 years, they were familiar with my accent and everything. I taught Bible studies, everything. So I know that sometimes, you know, I mispronounce things. That's why I like the screen, because you can check what I say. And so I have this, the second, English is my second language. So it is an obstacle for me, is a kind of hindrance. But when I say, Lord, I don't know, I'm here, I want to glorify your name. You just give me the energy and put the word in my heart. I'm just want to do your will. And then I see it's happening. So, but I came from that, those nations, and he brought many, many nations. If you go back to your ancestors, and you can see, you know, some came from Germany, some in Poland and other places. So this is a melted pot that God brings every other nations. And, you know, thank God, I live in California. If you want to see multicultural, go to California, New York, places that, you know, they, I remember my wife, first day we moved to California, she called me at work. She said, I think I'm a stranger in my country. She's American. And I said, why? And she says, well, the waterman, he was Korean, and the electrician came, put the electrician, he was a Mexican, and you know, the other guy was Russian. So all these people, they came to, you know, hook up things, and they were from different, you know, nationalities. And that's a blessing, because people, God brings people like me to this country to hear the gospel. So we need to reach out to others. And this is a blessing for us. If you want to be blessed, I don't know how many of you put anyone's hand in God's hand and pray with them. We're going to be praying right after the sermon. And you can always dedicate your life. You can always pray for others. Come forward. Don't be shy. You know, when you come forward, you know, you stand for God. That's how we become brave. That's how God pours his blessing on us. We can sit there and say, I know Jesus. Yes, we know Jesus. That's why we need to be on fire. We need that fire. And we need to ask God to bring revival to the churches. I'm sorry, I put myself in the category of being lukewarm. That's why I sat back from ministry. I said, Lord, I'm getting lukewarm. I think I know it all. And then he says, you're drifting away from me. You need to get closer to your family first, because family always comes first, then is ministry. If you have a job, your job is second, then is ministry. Please remember, many pastors, I know big guys, that they, at the end of their age, they said, I wish I would have spent more time with my family. So God wants that. Family is first, then is your ministry. So we need to put everything in perspective, where they belong. Well, I don't want to take too much of your time. There's so much in my heart, but I know you all took it in. If you want a copy of this sermon, I can ask me. I can send you, email it to you. You can keep it, meditate on it, whatever. There are many scriptures. But this is time to thank our our Lord God for all that he has done for me. And this was a small portion of what God has done for us. So let's pray. O God, our Lord and our Savior, in awe of you, we approach your throne of mercy and grace with praise and thanksgiving. You are good and your love endures forever. Your covenant through your Son Jesus for our redemption is an everlasting covenant. Your faithfulness is our hope and our strength. Therefore, no weapon forged against us will prevail. We extol your name above all names. You are the great I Am, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the beginning and the end, the one who was and is to come. We bow down our hearts and our knees and worship you and our sovereign Lord. We bless you, praise you, and adore you, Abba, our Father. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And all children of God said, Amen. God bless you.
Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to him? Time after time, he's waited before, and now he is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how he wants to come in. You take one step toward the Savior, my friend. You'll find his arms open wide. Receive him and all of your darkness will end. Within your heart he'll abide. Waited before, and now he is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how he wants to come in. Waited before, and now he is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how he wants to come in.
Now to him who is able to do more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And everyone said, Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.